Let's go straight to the preaching tonight. If you get your Bible out, we'll go to Luke chapter number 19. We are really beginning the last days of Christ's earthly ministry. And tonight we're going to look at Christ's triumphal entry. Really just the introduction to his triumphal entry. But some things I hope will be helpful to you. Luke chapter number 19, we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 28. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 28. The Bible says in verse 28, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we pray you'd bless reading, teaching, preaching of your word tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to look tonight at really three characters in this scripture. First of all, we want to consider the two disciples. Secondly, we want to consider the owners of this colt whereon never man had sat. And thirdly, we want to consider, of course, the Lord. And there's some interesting things we can pick up here in this portion of Scripture that I think will be a help to us. It's a fascinating thing to me that God wants to use us, His people. God, who created the heavens and the earth in just a few days, with a few words, has determined to use us, His people, to accomplish His work. And we must become and be willing vessels to do His work. And we've seen this portion of Scripture, three characters that I think will be very helpful as we consider our place in God's work and the fact that the Lord hath need of Him. They're talking about this donkey. The Lord hath need of him. Twice, Scripture says, the Lord hath need of him. And I want to be a servant of the Lord. And we need to be reminded that the Lord has desired to use us. The Lord has desired to use us. I've been having a bad day today. I've called you turkeys and hams. In my message this morning, I said we're all a bunch of horses. And tonight, we're going to talk about the fact that we should be donkeys in the Lord's service. Isn't this an encouraging day? I'm just here to be a blessing is all I got to say. The Lord has need of us. And what a privilege that the Lord would desire to use somebody like me, somebody like you. What a joy. The Lord hath need of us. Well, let's look in the Scripture, beginning in verse number 28. When he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. At Jerusalem is where he will give himself on the cross of Calvary. In route to Jerusalem, the Bible says, it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He goes to the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is a very famous place in Scripture. So many things happened in the past on the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives, Jesus will return again. And the Mount of Olives is a very fascinating place in Scripture. The Bible says, on the Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his disciples. The first point tonight is two of his disciples. Let's see what they do. The Bible says that these two disciples, verse 30, he sent two of his disciples saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. If any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And God answered his prayer and did exactly what they said. And they found what God said they would find as they go in to Jerusalem and find a colt whereon never man has sat. First of all, we see Jesus is picking these two disciples, sending them to do his work. And we need to keep in mind that we should be willing disciples of the Lord. I think about the task that they were given, and quite frankly, it's a little bit awkward. Can you imagine that Jesus says to the disciples, these two disciples, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to go and get this colt, and if anybody asks you why you're untying their colt, you tell them, the Lord hath need of that colt. Some folks have the idea that this was a prearrangement. I don't have to believe that it is a prearrangement for God to orchestrate it at all. I think that it's miraculous how the Lord worked. It's at least miraculous that Jesus was able to sit on a colt that had never been tied. I have tried that before. I've tried that never a man's sat on before. I have attempted that. And guess what? That old colt floored me. Right in the dirt. That's where I went. But I tried it. I tried it again. About four or five times I tried. I wish I could say I broke a colt, but I didn't. He broke me, and I've not done that since. But at any rate, God worked a notable miracle here, but he uses two disciples who were willing to do what God had asked them to do. The Bible says here in verse number 30, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, bring him hither. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like going over to Walmart tonight. You feel the Lord's leading, and you go to Walmart tonight, and you say, you know, the Lord's led you, and you go to Walmart tonight, and you go out in the parking lot, and there is a brand new car sitting in the parking lot. And God tells you, what I want you to do is I want you to go get that car, and I want you to sit down in it. The keys will be in it. I want you to sit down in it. I want you to start it up, and I want you to drive off. And anybody ask you what you're doing, just tell them, the Lord hath need of it. Now, I didn't tell you to do that. If you do that tonight, you'll probably be in jail. I do visit the jail, and I'll be glad to see you. And we might even be able to arrange bond. You know, we'll just talk about that later. But I want to recommend you that you do something. You need to remember my phone number. Just go ahead and memorize it, because sometimes they won't let you have your cell phone there if it's something that's saved in. I tell Doris this all the time. Make sure you got my phone number memorized. But here we got God asking these disciples to do something that was a little bit concerning. It was one of those situations that the disciples had no way to personally prepare every step in the future. All that God said to the disciples, go, and when you go, you're going to find, and when you find, obey me and bring back this colt. Now, they were asked to do something that was a little bit concerning. But I want you to know something. God works this way with his people. You see, God's put in the heart of thousands and thousands of faithful Christians to serve him on the mission field and be missionaries for the glory of God in lands that they've never lived and do things with people they've never met. God calls people to the mission field, but it is impossible as a missionary to know everything that you're going to encounter along the way. But it is possible to know that where God leads, he provides. And what God sends us to do, he gives us clarity and ability. I remember, this isn't about me at all, but I remember when God put on my heart and my wife's heart that it was time to become a pastor. I went and met with Pastor Sexton. I had a wonderful job. I was a youth pastor in one of the greatest churches in America. And I went and told my pastor, I said, now look, I don't want to get in your way. and I'm offering you my resignation. I'm happy serving the Lord here. I'm offering you my resignation. God's put in my heart to be a pastor. I didn't know, I had not contacted any church. No church had contacted me. But I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And then God began to put the pieces together for us to meet the folks at Bowling Springs Baptist Church and candidate. It was a quite alarming task to come down here and meet people we've never met before and depend in such a huge way, depend on people that you didn't know. But God, all along the way, meets the needs, provides. When His disciples are willing, His disciples are willing to serve Him. And these two disciples said, you know what, Lord, I can't see how you're going to meet all the need. I can't see how all this is going to come to pass. But the disciples did what we all should do when God leads us to serve Him. When He said, go, the Bible says in verse number 32, and they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them. What'd they do? God said, go, they went. God said, go, they went. Now, this can be applied to your life. God may call you to be a missionary. And if God says go, you should go. And when you go, you're going to find out that God is going to meet you along the way. In a smaller but still very important way, if God puts on your heart to share the gospel with a coworker, it's a little bit alarming. You don't know how they're going to respond. You don't know how the gospel will be received. You don't know how this is going to change your relationship in the future. But if God puts on your heart to go and to witness to a coworker, then you should. God puts on your heart to get involved in a ministry, this church, and you don't know how you're going to get it done, you should do it and see and expect God to meet your needs. God puts it on your heart to give above and beyond what you normally do. You should do it. And plan on God being faithful. We as God's children and His disciples, we must become willing disciples. Willing to do what God has called us to do. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if we don't see how all the pieces will work out in the end. But in faith, we should trust and serve and follow the Lord. These were willing disciples. Something that over and over, as I've studied this passage of Scripture, has come to mind and encouraged me. It's found in verse number 32. The Bible says, they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them. That phrase, they found even as He had said unto them. You know what they found? They found out that what Jesus had said to them was exactly right and true. They found that what God had declared to be true was true. They found it even as He had said. Folks, I want you to know something. As we serve the Lord with our lives, we'll find God's Word to be true. When God's Word says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Guess what? At the end of the faith life, you're going to look back and see that God was right and true and faithful. When God tells you to do something, you're going to find His Word to be right on target every time. You see, two disciples willing to do something that was uncomfortable were used of the Lord, and they found all along, all the way, that God's Word proved true. God's Word proved true. I pray that we'll be faithful disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He leads us to service, we'll follow through. Folks, I want you to know something. God is leading and desires to lead in the hearts of all of His people to serve. You say, I'm old. God isn't leading me to serve. That's not true. He's not leading you to serve in the exact same way that He's leading me to serve. But God is leading in your heart. He desires to use you for His honor and glory. Those folks that walk close to the Lord, they are driven to service. The folks that walk close to the Lord, these disciples, you know why they were used of God? Because they were disciples. They were following the Lord. They were close by. They were there. They were present. They were ready and available to be used of God. And God desires to use every last one of us. I'm amazed. It'd be amazing to see what God would do if all of His children were sat on ready, listening, asking, seeking to serve God. God wants to use you, every last one of you. And He will use you when you make yourself available. And when you make yourself available to do things that are uncomfortable, God will use you, and He'll use you, and He'll bless you. And all along the way, you'll find that His Word was true. I wonder, will you be a servant of the Lord? Will you allow the Lord to use you? I asked someone to sing a special this morning to start singing on our singing schedule. And the reply I got was, yes, I would love to. I get really nervous, but yeah, I would love to. And I thought, that's good. Quite frankly, I've sang all over the country, and I get nervous to sing. And I've preached literally thousands of messages, and I get nervous to preach because I need the Lord. I need the Lord. If it's going to be God's work, I need the Lord. And I don't know how it's all going to turn out all the time. But when God will use us, and God wants to use us, and we're willing, He will use us for His honor and glory. These two disciples are a great example. Two willing disciples. Number two, let's look at the owners of the donkey. Look at what the Scripture says. The Bible says in verse number 33, "And as they were loosing the colt..." Now, if I were these two disciples, I'd have been loosing that colt like this. I'd have been like, "Be as quiet as you can. Maybe nobody will see us." And I would loose that colt real quietly. And then as soon as I got it loosed, I would have ran for it. I'd have been getting out of Dodge. The last thing on earth that I would have wanted to do is run into the owner. Wouldn't that be terrible? Their worst nightmare came true. And guess what happened? These two disciples are loosing these folks' colt. And the owner of the colt comes out, and the Bible says in verse number 33, "And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt?" And they come out and meet, and they say, "Why loose ye the colt?" The Bible says, "And they said, The Lord hath need of him." Just as Jesus had said, they said, "The Lord hath need of him." As far as we know, there's no more confrontation, but I want to think just a minute something very simple about these owners. The word owners here in the Scripture is the exact same word that we would use for Lord. And the Bible says that these folks were the owners of the colt. They were the Lord of the colt. This was their colt. It was their possession. They had been given the task, and they had purchased the colt, or it had been born on their farm. They had the colt. The colt was theirs. They were the ones that were responsible for making sure it was tied up so that it wouldn't run away. They were the ones that were responsible to make sure that it was halter broke so they could tie it. They were the ones that were responsible to make sure that it had been fed and cared for. They were the ones that owned and had been entrusted with the possession of that colt. They were the lords of that colt. But the Bible said, "The Lord hath need of the colt." The Lord hath need of the colt. It's a great lesson for us. Do you know that nothing I have really is my own? You see, the things that God has entrusted me with are just that, things that God has entrusted me with. What do I have that God has not given me? And I hear people say, "I worked all my life and made something of myself." And I think, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate hard work, and I think it's necessary. I think we should be hard-working people. But quite frankly, if I've worked hard and accomplish something in my life, I've only been able to work hard because God has granted me the health and strength in order to do it. And if there's something that I've been able to earn the money and purchase and possess of my own, in my strength, it is nothing more than a blessing and a gift from God. And Christian people should get the idea that our possessions and our things, we have been given the opportunity to be the owners, the lords of. And we are to manage it and take care of it. And we're supposed to be good stewards, but we are good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. You see, my time, my money, my possessions are all things that God has entrusted me with. And all along life's trail, life's path, God sometimes calls and has need of our possessions. Folks, we need to be willing to use what God has given us for the glory of God. There's something freeing about knowing that it's not really mine. It's the Lord's. He's been faithful to give it to me. These folks had a colt, and Jesus came calling and said, "Hey, the Lord has need of that colt." As far as we know, they said, "Sure. If God needs it, He gave it to me to begin with. I'll be glad to use it for God's glory and God's work." See, there's a sense of generosity. There's a spirit of what I have should be used for eternity anyway. And I pray we can learn something from these owners. You see, it's the idea that God has entrusted me with things, that God has given them to me to take care of, to nourish. To build, to possess, that it might be used for God and His glory. It's quite a humbling thing. You see, that makes it easier to send your children to the mission field. It makes it easier to send your children out to serve the Lord. It makes it easier. You see, God has entrusted me. God's entrusted me with my children. God's entrusted me with my home. God's entrusted me with my possessions. Why? So they can be used for God and His glory. May we be so willing. May we be so willing to allow our colts to be used for God and His glory. You see, we see here you've got willing disciples and yielded possessions in the hand of the Lord that do amazing things. The Bible continues in verse number 34, 35. The Bible says, "And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" The third character, of course, is our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The conclusion of this message is very elementary. But the result of willing disciples and yielded possessions in the hands of Christ was amazing. What did Jesus do? Jesus used a donkey. Jesus used a donkey to carry Jesus to the people. Jesus used the disciples' willingness to go, the owner's willingness to share, in order to carry Jesus to the people. You see, our goal as Christians ought to be to carry Jesus to the people. We ought to be desirous to carry Jesus to the people. And quite frankly, when disciples are willing and possessions are yielded to the service of God, guess what happens? Jesus is carried to the people. The result of these things allowed Jesus to be lifted up before the masses. What'd they do? They sat him up on the colt. It's a fascinating study to understand this lowly donkey. We think of him as a lowly donkey. My family, we have a donkey, a Jerusalem donkey. It's got a cross on its back, and her name is Minnie. Her mama's name was Jenny. It was only appropriate to name her Minnie when she was born. And Minnie, she lives a donkey's life. There's nothing real wonderful about Minnie's life. She has been out in the field protecting sheep for about 12 years now. And her life is pretty mild. I wouldn't recommend you get anywhere close to her. You get real close to her, she likes to start turning around, and I'm certain that she would kick every chance she got. And today, our donkeys, they aren't very prominent, but in this day, a donkey was something that a king would ride on. And God used this donkey, the possession of its owners, brought to Jesus through the willing disciples. What for? To lift up Jesus. They sat Jesus on that colt and they declared him royal. They declared his deity. They declared him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And folks, you know what happens when willing disciples and yielded possessions are placed in the hand of the Lord? Jesus is exalted to his proper place. And when Jesus is exalted before the masses, when Jesus is lifted up before the masses, great things happen. People get saved. Wonderful things occur. And folks, willing disciples, yielded possessions, simply do the work of Christ. They do the work of Christ. You see, why are we here? Why has God given us health and strength? Certainly there's a certain measure of life that is so enjoyable. There's nobody here that I can imagine enjoys life any more than I do. I have a great time. I have so much fun. If you want to have fun one day, just holler at me. It's fun being me. I'm not. There's no doubt about it. It's fun being me. You get down the dump, spend a day with me. Maybe I can help you. I don't know. We'll have fun. We'll get into something. I enjoy life. I love life, and I'm so blessed. But what is life? My life and our lives and your lives, it's not about a career. The world says, what kind of career are you going to pursue for your life to the young people? Well, careers are fine, and they're important. But we should pursue a career that God has led us to so that we can be used as servants of Jesus to point a lost world to Christ. You see, Jesus and the souls of men, the message of the gospel, is far more important than careers and the things of this world. As disciples of Christ, if we become willing, yielded, guess what happens? We're able to do the work of Christ. Do the work of Christ. Every one of us are ministers. Every one of us are servants of the Lord. And God wants to use us. That's the most amazing thing, that God wants to use us. At whatever stage of life we're in, God wants to use us. God wants to use us to carry Jesus to the people, to lift Jesus before the masses, and to do the work of Christ. I wonder, are you willing? Are you yielded? Oh, if you are, what a blessing. If you're not, those things you're trying to keep for yourself are really hindering you from having the joy that God so desires for you to have. May we be yielded to the Lord. Let's pray together.